Hi everyone, this is Gene Montrostelli, the editor of TappingQ&A.com, and welcome to the question and answer teleclass for January 2014. Greetings from a very, very, very snowy Brooklyn, New York. Snow started at about 8 o'clock this morning and it has gone nonstop. So far today, we have gotten 7.7 inches and we should get another 5 to 10 more inches before morning. I hope wherever you are warm and toasty. So tonight is your chance just to ask really anything that you want. If you have dialed in and you'd like, you have a question or there's an issue that you'd like for us to tap along to, all you need to do is press *2 and that will raise your hand. If you have... if you are listening to us on the webcast, all you need to do is just type into the little box over there on the left, and that will get your opportunity for you to ask your question there. So the line is open at this point. Feel free to just press *2 or enter your question in. To begin with, while we're waiting for that, I did receive a few emails ahead of time from folks who were looking for help. So the first one, which I think is really, really appropriate for today, someone sent me an email asking about how do we tap for the sense of dread that comes along with the long winter nights for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere. The days have started to slowly start getting lighter, but we're still a long way away from that sense of getting that sense of light being everywhere and warmness that comes along with that. So to tap to that, I would do something like this. And if you want to tap along with me, just do this for me. Tap inside the hand, take a nice deep breath. This is the time of year in which it's dark and cold. I leave the house in the morning and it's dark. I come home in the evening, it's dark. And everything everywhere is cooler. And I can feel that impacting my body. And the good foods that are available this time of year aren't the fresh, bright fruits of the summer, but they're more roots and they're more meats. And the entire thing has a slower pace. And there was a time in our not so distant past in which the winter time was a time for rest. After working in the fields through the summer, it was our opportunity to recharge. It was our opportunity to regain strength and to put ourselves back together. And so it's natural this time of year that I would be slowing down. It's natural this time of year that things would be moving at a more sloven pace. I give myself permission to be easy with myself and know that it is okay not to push myself with the same amount of force, not to push myself demanding the same level of energy, not to push myself expecting my days to be as long. It is okay if this is slower. It is okay if I am easier with myself. It is okay if I appreciate the fact that this is the winter. I give myself permission to be easy and gentle with myself, knowing that it is okay not to push as hard, knowing it is okay to take the time to rest and simply be with the winter. The summer months are coming soon. Natural light is coming back. I give myself permission to be easy with myself as I take it slower this time of year. Now, if you tap on something like that and you find yourself where you're actually moving towards a more restful state, and the fact that you want to sleep, that's okay. You know, I think it's really important that we do a better job of paying attention to our bodies and paying attention to the seasons as we move along and as we move forward. I noticed a few more people have jumped on the call since we started tapping before. Again, if you have something you'd like to tap for, an issue, and you just want to do a little tapping, you can certainly raise your hand by pressing star 2. And for those of you who have joined us online, I see a few more people have jumped on over there as well. All you need to do is just type a little question over there into the chat box on the left. And when you type your question into the chat box, it will show up here and we'll get a chance to tap for it. In the meantime, while we are waiting for that, the other email I got was from someone who said, how do you bounce back after a large emotional bout? I find myself often being really, really emotional. And even though the emotion has moved on and I'm no longer frustrated or overwhelmed, there's still a sense of me that is caught in the emotion. What can I do to bounce back from strong emotions? And I think this is an important question, I think, in two folds. One is, you know, at the end of a really emotional tapping session, there is this moment where we're transitioning back into our day, especially if the tapping isn't the last thing that we've done for the day. And if that's the case, it's really important that we spend a little time transitioning. The other is, when we're tapping for something that comes up in the middle of the day, where the thing that we're responding to might have caught us off guard and we've had a really strong emotional charge, we've done a good job and reached for the tapping, but how do we get our way out of it and how are we okay with how much emotion that we just felt? Because sometimes we can even then feel bad for having the over-emotional response that we had to spend a great deal of time tapping for. So let's take those one at a time. So first of all, at the end of a tapping session, how do we transition kind of back into whatever is going on around us? The first thing I think it's important to do is that when we're done tapping is not to go rushing back into whatever it is we're doing. When I'm doing tapping for myself, especially if it's something that's of emotional nature. Now, if it's just a quick little 5 minutes in the morning to set up the day, this isn't the case. But if I'm sitting down to do some more profound work, something that's going to take more time and is certainly get into more issues, I always like to leave a buffer at the back end of the tapping. When I tap by myself, I am most often tapping with my eyes closed. Just as I'm focusing and tuning in, that's what I do. And so when I'm done tapping, I'll actually just continue to sit there with my eyes closed for 2 or 3 minutes. So I'm not rushing my way back into the room. And if I've been sitting there for a while with my eyes closed, I don't want to have to deal with the harshness right away of the light that's kind of jarring. And so I want my system to just slowly catch up to what's going on. So what I'll do is I'll just sit there quietly with my eyes closed, take a number of deep breaths, and after a minute or so, what I'll then start to do is I'll then just start to stretch. You know, take my arms and stretch them up. Just saying that, I do it. Rolling my shoulders, straightening my legs, bending and flexing my feet and my ankles, bending and straightening my legs, and just kind of moving around and rocking in my chair. And as I do that, after sitting there for a few moments, silently breathing, I'll then open my eyes. And again, once my eyes are open, I'm not going to go rushing into the day. I'm going to sit there for a moment, take a big deep breath, look around, and then move on to what's next. And I'm going to make sure that wherever I am, whatever emotional state that I am, what I'm moving on to next is the thing that is appropriate. So if I'm still a little mellow or a little slow, I'm going to make sure that when it comes time for me to move on to whatever is next, that it's not going to be something that's rushing. So that's what I do at the end of a session. Now, let's say I've I've had something come up in the middle of the day, and it's been really, really emotional. And I'm going to tap on it, and I'm going to deal with it. And it takes longer to release than maybe it should, or even after I feel better, it's almost like there's this residual emotion that's still lingering in my body, almost as if it hasn't completely washed out of my system yet, even though the emotion itself isn't still firing off. So when I'm in a circumstance like that, I kind of take a three-step approach. There's two questions that I ask, and then the third thing is there's something physical that I do. So questions that I ask. So the first question I ask is, what job does the emotion still think it's doing, or what's the penalty for letting go of the emotion right now? Because it's important to remember that when the emotions show up, they're showing up for a very particular reason. They're showing up because they have information for us. You know, I feel sad when I'm disconnected from something important. I feel angry when I'm being attacked. I feel frustrated when I'm not getting what I want or what I need. And so the emotion is showing up to point that out. Now, we can tap and we can shift ourselves and we can start to intellectually see that the emotion was there and maybe it over-responded and maybe it was appropriate, but it's done its job. But the emotion still might want to, not that emotions have intention, but functionally, the emotion might still linger around because the system is worried that the same danger is coming again in the future, and so it needs to be on guard. You know, I feel really sad because I've lost an opportunity. You know, something that I wanted to do didn't work out. And so I can tap on that and I can move through that and I can be okay. But after the fact, there's a part of me that is still scared of the fact that this might happen to me again. And so this emotion is sitting on guard. So the penalty for letting go of the emotion is I'm going to let my guard down and I'm going to end up in the same place again. So the emotion, which is an alarm saying, point out danger, 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 is showing up and sticking around in such a way so it's still there. So if I find this happening and I find that there the system is resisting letting go of the emotion, the tapping is really something as simple as I give myself permission to know that if this emotion needs to come back at some future date, it has permission to do exactly that. The emotions that are on my system and the emotions that I'm struggling with are trying to be helpful, and I appreciate the help that they are providing, but they have done their job. I am fully aware of what has happened. I'm fully aware why the emotions have shown up. And in the future, when they need to come back, I encourage them to come back because they keep me safe and healthy. So if there is an emotion that has been lingering around, that has been clinging to, that has been holding on because we haven't had the opportunity to let it go because it's worried that this is going to show up again, that's a really easy thing to do. Now, there can be a second reason that the emotion sticks around. And that second reason is whatever is coming next is something that might not be very desirable either. And so what the system is doing is it's keeping us stuck in this place to prevent us from whatever is coming next. And so it's almost as if the emotional charge is giving us permission to stay turned completely inward to take care of ourselves so we don't have to do that next thing on my to-do list. You know, I could have a really difficult phone call that is on my to-do list next, or something really gross like cleaning out the garage or cleaning the bathroom that I don't really want to do. Well, if I'm still feeling this really strong emotional and I'm still caught inside of it, it's giving me permission, because it's really important that I spend time taking care of my emotions, then it's going to prevent me from letting it go, because the danger or the penalty of letting go of the emotion is whatever comes next. So the second question I would ask, so the first question is, what's the penalty for letting go of the emotion? The second question I ask is, what's the penalty for moving on to whatever is next? And what we might find is there's a part of us that's worried about what's coming next. And so if we tap on whatever's there, it's going to give us a chance to let it go. So I said there was two questions and there was something physical. The third thing is, when we feel an emotion, part of the reason that we physically feel it in the body is a series of peptide chains are created in the glandular system to communicate the information to the body that we're feeling whatever it is. And so those peptide chains start flowing through our blood as they can travel throughout the body to let the body know what's going on so the body can respond appropriately. It's the reason why, you know, we get the tightness or the flushed face or the energy to run away, whatever's coming with the emotion. And so even though the emotion has passed, the bloodstream is still full of these peptide chains. And so there can still be this sense of this lingering emotional effect when we're done. And so when I have a really strong emotion and I'm ready to move on to the next thing, what I like to do is I like to do some things that are very specific about movement and moving in my body to help that feeling to move on. So the first thing that I like to do, and this is really my go-to when I'm looking to recharge and I'm looking to center, is I like to go find a giant tree, and I like to stand under the giant tree, and I like to take 10 big deep breaths. And by doing this, I'm sitting under this giant oxygen factory, and I'm filling my body with good, clean oxygen, and that's just a healthy thing to do. The other thing that I like to do is I like to do something a little more physical. Instead of just sitting in my chair and stretching, kind of like I would at the end of a tapping session, I do something a little more comprehensive. There are some hip and solar flex stretching that I like to do. That for me, that's a place that I just really get caught up because I'm sitting all day. And so if I'm getting and moving those, then typically I'm moving my entire body. The other thing is there's great little warm-up that Yoga Journal has on YouTube. And it's a short little morning routine that's about 16 minutes. What I like to do is I like to just do 4 or 5 minutes of that. You know, I'll create some space, I'll flip it on the YouTube, and I'll just do those movements. And it's not for a full workout, and it's not for comprehensive stretching to work on my flexibility. It's simply to get me up and moving and to get the blood flowing in a slightly different way. And so I find that stretching, getting outside, getting some oxygen, doing something that's a little more vigorous in my break than just getting up and getting a cup of tea puts me into a position where I'm able to be able to shake it free much quicker, and I'm able to be healthier in that way. Excellent. So again, if you have a question, what you can do is you can just press star 2 to raise your hand, or you can tap something into the chat box. And let's see here. Oh, yes, we have something in the chat box. I am having a really hard time asking for help, even from the people who have offered me help and the people who are supposed to be helping me because it's their job. Now, it's really interesting when we get to the place where we are asking for help, because when we're asking for help, we're putting ourselves in a position, we're putting ourselves out there so that, you know, we have to be seen in a really different way, and we have to feel like we deserve more than we have, or we feel like we're in a circumstance that we're incapable and we're asking for help. Now, for a lot of things, it's reasonable that we ask for help because we are not capable of doing whatever is there for us. And so let's just do a couple of rounds of tapping for those times that we need to ask for help. So start in the tippy top of the head, nice deep breath. There is a part of me that knows that I need help, that knows I need to reach out for help, that knows it's important to have the help of others. But for some reason, I feel like I can't ask. And this can happen for a number of reasons. I can feel like I already have too much. And I recognize the fact that I have a lot. And the simple fact that I even have time to tap and think about what I have means that I have better than millions and millions of people in this world. And there's a part of me that feels like that if I'm asking for more, then I'm asking for too much. I'm asking for more than my fair share. And I give myself permission to know that even though I have a lot, especially compared to what others have, it is still okay and appropriate for me to ask. For me to ask for more, and for me to ask for better. I give myself permission to know that it is okay to ask for more, knowing I'm not taking more than my fair share. It can also be hard to ask for more because it means I have to admit I'm not able to do something. It means I have to admit that I'm not capable. And I really don't like it when others see me as incapable. I really don't like it when others see me as being less than. And there's a part of me that's afraid that if I ask for help, then what I am doing is I am admitting to the fact that I am not capable of being able to manage what is in front of me. But when other people ask me, I don't think less of them. When other people ask me, I don't think that they're incapable. I'm happy to help. I want them to have better. I want to use my giftedness. And so when I ask for help, I'm giving others the opportunity to be able to experience the same thing I'm experiencing. I'm giving others the chance to know it's possible for them to share what they have. When I ask for help, I'm simply stating I can't do something. I'm not saying I'm dumb. I'm not saying I'm stupid. I'm not saying I can't do more. I'm simply saying this is more than I can manage in this moment. It's good that I ask for help. It's important that I ask for help. If I don't ask for help, then I'm not going to move forward. And that is worse than how I am seen when I do ask for help. Nice big deep breath. It's really interesting when we look into that sense of asking for help and how much of that shows up as a worth issue. You know, if we're worthy of actually having others give us time and attention, which is even different from this idea of how we're perceived. So that's the place that I would start. I would also encourage you to just go onto the site and check out the archives. We have a number of audios that are built around just asking for help and being able to get more help. So let's see. Are there any other questions? There are no other questions in the chat area. And there are no hands raised. Well, it's quiet night and it's cold night. And it looks like that's where we're going to be. Well, great. Well, I will make sure I get the audio stuck up later today. Make sure you join us next month. Next month, we're going to be tapping for and talking about how we can tap to be more effective with our relationships and how we can get more out of them. As always, if you got a tapping request, let me know. We'll make sure we get audios on the site, or we'll get them in the next Q&A call. So even if you're not on the line, we can make sure we can tap for that and your issue. I hope wherever you are, it is warmer and less snowy than it is here. For Tapping Q&A and the Ruas Center, this is Gene Montristelli. I hope you guys have a great night, and I will talk to you real soon. Good night. Bye-bye.